right, this is Al Venz coming at you from Studio 2. Got my good friend Josh Raymond in studio. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good, Al. Glad to be back in Studio 2. It's been a while.
It has been a while. We're on, what, episode 42 now?
Episode 42.
Our the curve of release frequency is not great over the summer. The good news is it has not been great because we've been busy. Everybody's back doing things, right? Everybody's out and about and getting back to life is a little closer to normal, which is a great thing.
Yeah, this time last year, we didn't really have a ton to get together and discuss about, really.
Right, yeah, it was tough. It was tough. We something we're going to talk about later in the show, we'll touch on that. But, yeah, super happy to be busy again. Been a lot going on, though, man. I tell you what. Hey, why don't we start out? We've had some world championships lately. At age levels, you know, cadets or 16U as it's known now, junior worlds, and a little event they call the Olympics occurred.
Yeah.
And we had some Minnesota representation in each of those age levels. Why don't we touch on that just a hair?
A pretty proud summer for Minnesota wrestling, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely it was. Well, let's start out with cadet.
Okay.
At cadets or 16U, like I said, that's what it's called now. Ryder Rogatsky competed in Greco. He had an awesome qualifying tournament, beat some big names there in super exciting matches.
Yeah, I would have just an absolute hammer on his way to win this world team
terror,
spot.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
And Ryder went overseas. He ended up going 1-1 in Cadet Greco. The way it works there, it's a single elimination tournament. If the person who beats you make the finals, you get pulled back into repechage.
That's how you pronounce that?
I believe so.
I think so.
I'm going to say that's how we pronounce it. Whether that's correct or not, I'm not sure. And so Ryder's, the guy that beat Ryder got beat before he made the final. So Ryder just did not have a chance to come back. But he went 1-1, won a match, had a good experience, went overseas, represented us well, and had fun.
Yeah, he had looked really good, you know, leading up to it. And it's also not his first time going overseas, right? Because he wrestled in the Pan Ams a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
So
maybe both styles down there even. I can't remember.
I think he did.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, talk about building a bunch of international experience.
That's a huge deal. It really is. You know, the first time we talk, you know, in our circles, we talk a little more about, like, the first time these kids go to the state tournament. You know, we like taking our kids to great big tournaments down in, say, in Cedar Falls, perhaps, or down in Tulsa, when they're younger, so that when they get to the state tournament, they've been in a big tournament before. They're not shell-shocked. They're not wondering what's going on and how come there's all these people here. And even kids who've been to Tulsa and competed on a run and been to Cedar Falls for USA Nationals and went on a run, there's still something a little different about going to the XL, right? Well, these kids, you know, Ryder, he's making these trips overseas and starting to get familiar with the process. What's it like? You know, what, maybe this time he had to deal with some time zone issues, you know, a little bit, quite a bit different time zone, a long travel schedule, dealing with customs and passports or whatever. And every time they do it, they get a little more comfortable with it and well-versed. So good job, Ryder. And
yeah, congrats to a great summer, man.
Right.
Now let's, since we're at the cadets, let's go with our next cadet.
All right.
He's also got some world experience, right? Gavin Nelson.
He does.
You know, he made a U-15 world team a couple summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the cadet freestyle, UWW cadet freestyle team this year. And
how did he look at the qualifier for that, Josh?
Oh, my gosh. It was like ripped everybody in half, right?
You know, look, it looked like a high schooler wrestling middle schoolers. It was crazy. And he had some tough kids in his bracket, and he completely outclassed every one of them, and it wasn't even competitive. Not only was it not close, it wasn't competitive. He destroyed people. He was on a major roll going into Worlds.
I think we actually did an episode that day and watched his last couple matches on your TV, and it was like, oh my gosh.
Right?
Like, he was just.
Yeah, he followed that up with a really nice performance at Worlds. I watched his. So there have been times I've watched cadet or 16U competitions overseas, and I'm not entirely certain what the birth certificate checking process is. And there have been times guys with big, furry, hairy chests are wrestling in the cadets for their second year in a row, you know. The guys Gavin ended up losing to did not, they weren't quite like that, but they were not immature young men.
Yeah, some of those.
And they were big.
Russian like
they
were guys with big, beards.
Big dudes. Yeah. You know, Gavin, you watch him wrestle. He wrestles kind of like a little guy, moves super good, very strong. And in his semis and his medal match, maybe it was quarters in medal match. Anyway, the kids he lost to, like, they were freaks, Josh. They were giants. They were huge, and they moved good. And it's really impressive to watch a guy. You watch a kid wrestle, and you're like, nobody can beat him. He's unbeatable. And then you watch an overseas tournament, and you're like, he's at the very top fractional percentage of wrestlers in the world at his age and weight. But if you look hard enough, you can find guys at a similar level. It's really crazy.
There's always someone out there. And,
right?
You know, Gavin is so hard to score on. Stays in such good position.
Unbelievable. Like, and so strong, right? And his hips and his – he'll dig an underhook and pull you up if you're on a shot. Anyway, he had awesome summer for him. And, in fact, by the time this episode gets out, all of our Minnesota number one matches will be released, and you'll notice Gavin's missing from that. And Gavin actually got invited to wrestle on Flo's national Who's Number One card.
Good for him.
Yeah. So he'll get to go rep Minnesota there, which we've had kids there before, right? I think maybe both McKees have wrestled there.
Yeah.
And we've had a number of kids over the years, but Gavin gets to continue that tradition and go rep Minnesota at that event. So congratulations there.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be the second Simile wrestler to go. Ryan Sokol went a couple years ago when
he did.
Iowa City, so that'll be good for Gavin. Bobby Stevenson a few years back, he was there, right?
Yeah, I think Mark Hall wrestled there.
Yeah, he wrestled Anthony Valencia.
Yeah,
beat him. That was a big match.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's always big names there, man. That's a pretty cool event.
Yeah, good for him. That's awesome. It's bad for Minnesota's number one. Good for pro wrestling and their national, who's number one.
May or may not be good for other 220-pounders in Minnesota.
Yeah.
For that event.
Right.
Gavin's a handful. They can take a crack at him this year during the season. Did anybody else wrestle in, how about in juniors? Did we have any junior wrestlers, Josh?
We did. We did have a junior wrestler. We had a junior champ, Al.
A junior world freaking champion?
Yeah, junior world freaking champion. Yes, absolutely. Would you... fill me in.
Friend of the show, Emily Shilson.
Yeah.
Went on a tear. So the juniors were on a little better schedule than the Olympics, to where you had to get up awful early to watch them, but it wasn't 2 a.m. Or whatever it was for the Olympics. So I actually got to catch quite a few of Emily's matches live. And I missed one of her matches, her second match, quarterfinals match. And I went back on the advice of at Love the Fight, Brandon Paulson. Went back and watched that match. And she was down, I can't remember exactly, 4, 5, 6 points. She was down pretty good. The girl was really tough. But Emily was clearly the better wrestler. But it was a Russian gal, super good. And she caught Emily, was up 4-0, I think. And then dug an underhook and put her forehead in Emily's chin and just stayed there. And the referees refused not only not call passivity, but they didn't even yell. I thought it was yelling and pointing and waving their arms in
that
circles.
That hand gesture,
like,
they always do.
Up, head up, engage. They didn't even do that to her. And I thought, man, that stinks. Emily went overseas and is going to get completely screwed by this girl catching one good move and the referee's not forcing her. In typical Emily fashion, never phased, never too high, never too low. Just grinded her way back and really controlled the match. And after that, went on to destroy her semifinals and finals opponents.
Destroyed, right? Yeah. Attacked them both?
Right.
I mean, how impressive is her international resume looking? I mean, not starting to look. How impressive is it
looking? We talk about lesson overseas and get, like you mentioned with Ryder, right, that get that experience, that competition. She's wrestled all over the place, and she is only getting better.
Keep an eye on her, fans, because bigger and better things are coming, man.
She is far, far, far from done. And it was funny. I saw a tweet. It was I chuckled because when she was in studio, her dad was with, right? Coach Chad Shilson was with her, and we chatted with him about some different things. And I saw somebody tweeted, Emily Shilson wins a world gold and celebrates with a firm handshake to her coach and main practice partner, Chad Shilson. She's got lots of practice partners and she's got other coaches, but I just, that tweet for whatever reason cracked me up. It was very funny. The firm handshake, right? Because We talked with Emily when she was on the show. She's always been pretty reserved and quiet. And I saw a bunch of pictures of her. Like, the girls won a junior world title. The Team USA won the team race at Junior Worlds. And in that picture, you know, along with some of the other hammers from across the country, she had this huge smile. You could tell she was having fun. And my understanding is, I think that was, you know, until her match was done, she did not crack a smile for at least a few days, if not a week, right? She's all business all the time. But it was great to see her, you know, break open the big smiles and enjoy it, right? Because you never want to take anything for granted. You never know when what's going to... But she had a blast. She wrestled awesome, had a blast, and won a world title. Awesome job, Emily.
That's, congrats. That was fun to watch. That probably rounds out our...
Was there anybody else Is there anybody else, Josh, from Minnesota?
There is. The big guy, right? The Gable Stevenson, right? Your Olympic gold medalist from Apple Valley, Minnesota.
What a story that is, right? So Gable is all over the internet right now. He is maybe the most recognizable figure in the country. Not far from it. He went to SummerSlam, a giant WWE event. And him and Tamir Mensah-Stock made the rounds and got huge applause. And there was pictures of him with Vince McMahon.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been back and forth on Twitter and in interviews, you know, with Dana White, with the Vikings. You know, he is making the most. He's building a brand as quickly as anybody has ever built a brand before. It's crazy. But he went in and there was... talk about how's he going to do, right? And this is always a talk about Gable. Everybody knows he was really talented, right? But there were times when he didn't look as focused. Over the last year and a half, he's looked really focused. And he went in and he had in the semifinals, no, second round, I think it was, he had a ghoul. So there's two guys who've won every world title at his weight class in the last 4 years, maybe five, two guys. And he had one of them. So this guy is a seasoned veteran, maybe 25, 30 years old. I'm going to say 30. He's not 25.
Yeah.
Anyway, this great big Georgian, just a stud, right? Hammer. In fact, years ago, Gable tweeted at him, I hope he's still wrestling when I get older. I would love to compete with him.
Yep.
Well, he got his hands on him, and this poor Agul. I mean, that guy, he's a stud, Josh. And embarrassed is too strong of a word, but Gable whipped him.
Oh, my
goodness. He whipped him. And everybody's eyes got big. Like, this is the Gable we all knew was there. It was crazy. And then he followed that up, right, in the finals. In the finals, it looked like his magical run had finally come to an end. He wrestled really, really good. I don't know if Gable turned anybody at Worlds, right? It's not like he has wrestled so much freestyle that his gut wrench is your, you know, traditional Minnesota gut.
Right.
He scores on his feet. He'll grab a hold and he'll give them a tug, but if they're big, strong guys know how to defend, he doesn't waste his energy. He doesn't turn a lot of guys. Well, he was looking really good in the finals, and then he got taken down and got gutted.
A couple times, right?
Twice. Yeah. I thought, oh, what a run. Silver medalist as a 21-year-old. That is awesome. And then the clock kept ticking. Hit 13 seconds and there was a restart. Gable's down by 3. You know, nice work. I was up early in the morning to watch this one live, right? Because I didn't want to miss it. Next thing you know, Gable gets a takedown, right? And this guy's smart.
Yeah.
The guy just bellies out his freestyle.
Yep.
You got to turn me. Gable stood up.
Gable stood up and waved him up. Gable cut him.
Luckily, the referee blew the whistle and waved him up. There was a little talk. You know, typically in freestyle, you've got to try to turn them. You know, there's parterre's part of the game. And referee blew them up, and so they came to their feet, and the guy kind of looked around.
He literally looked at the corner, at his corner. He's like, what?
And do you know John Smith? Give me John Smith's call on this. By the way, John Smith, I heard somebody say he could if he made the call on my grocery list, I would tune into it, and I would.
How
the
can you not, awesome, right? Like, I mean, man, was he – easy to listen to during the Olympics,
right?
Do you
remember that phrase at the end?
What did he say? Remind me.
I should have looked at, was it fake snap, go behind, something along those lines.
Yep.
I should have looked it up and give it more credit by having it exactly correct. But He took him down with half a second left.
It's crazy.
Won a world title. And that was, I'm going to tell you, Josh, I got chills watching it because I watched Gable a ton, right? Since he was in seventh grade and came up to the JJ Classic. I watched him wrestle a ton of matches. I've never seen him as emotionally excited, like legitimately excited as he was for that. He's excited when he wins and stuff, but like he knew he just did something special.
Oh.
Not just won a big match like he did against a ghoul. He came back with 13 seconds left and did the unthinkable, and it was incredible.
It was, yeah, I'm speechless just thinking about it. The finish to that match was just nuts, so man. Crazy.
And then he immediately went on tour, right, with making appearances all over.
Well, it's, you know, it wasn't that many years ago. We were sitting in the Farmington gym watching Farmington wrestle Apple Valley.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, Gable forgot his headgear.
He did.
And his wrestling shoes.
He did.
And he had borrowed a pair of Velcro wrestling shoes from somebody.
I'm not sure who those come from. I knew that the sweaty headgear came from his brother.
Yeah, you do that.
By the way, his biggest fan, right? Bobby, watching his reactions always fun.
Very fun. But like that day in the gym, he literally, Bobby got done wrestling. He walked off the mat. He took his headgear off. He handed the headgear to Gable.
Right.
Gable took the sweaty headgear. Wiped him off on his singlet, yep, and put him on his head and went on and wrestled. In the middle of that match, like just to give you an idea of his showmanship, even at a young age.
Right.
He
crushed some Farmington Tiger hopes that day. The Tigers gave Apple Valley. Apple Valley had a monster team.
Monster.
Right? Monster. And you know, realistically, those of us that really knew that even halfway through the duel, Apple Valley was gonna probably win.
Back something half their lineup like was really
weird
solid.
Happened, but there was a lot of people who were like, we almost beat them, and the score was close, right? It came down to with six matches left, we were ahead, and we had three guys who were ranked in state left.
Well,
and they had three nationally ranked guys:
nationally
Mark
ranked
Hall and two Stevensons.
The best part was that during Gable's match, there was a break in the action, and he looked over. I remember this like it was yesterday. He looked over at the Farmington bench, looked like right at Victor Galiva,
right,
and did this thing with like raised his eyebrows up and down like three times really fast.
Which is so funny because it's a classical Victor Galiva move, yeah, doing that sort of stuff to somebody, right?
So it was, and we talk about this or reminisce about that night and that duel just because it's crazy to see a kid that we just watched a few years ago wrestling
in a local gym
win a gold medal, you know. In the most exciting fashion possible.
Literally the most exciting. There were people that were immediately saying it, granted recency bias, right? But
yeah,
saying this was the greatest Olympic finals ever. And I don't know if it was. There's probably, but it was right up there.
It was good.
Was ridiculously entertaining.
It was really good, man. And John Smith on the call.
Oh, that guy makes it.
Those guys.
That dude's a stud.
They did a really, really
good
job.
Not a huge fan of some of the referees.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah,
rightfully
so. I mean, like,
what are they standing him up for? I can't do the twang, but what is he doing?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So anyway, so it was a fun summer watching that international stuff. You know, I do wish the time zones were different.
Yeah. It made it challenging, right? Like,
it did. I mean, there was a lot of, and I was not one of them. There was a lot of people that figured out a way to camp, and they would watch the session, you know, the 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. session, then get up and watch the 10 a.m. session, whatever. I don't remember which times they were, and they all blend together. I did not, I'll full disclosure, I did not watch any wrestling at 3 a.m.
You didn't?
No. What? But I was up for that like 5:30 session a number of times, and I certainly wasn't going to miss Gable.
Right. That,
so,
that one is a lot easier to get to.
Right.
Yeah, congrats to those guys, man. Way to represent. What a great summer.
Yeah, you know, just keep Minnesota on the map. Let people know that we're still producing up here. That's fun. Speaking of producing in Minnesota, a little event called USMC Nationals, right? The U.S. Marine Corps Nationals happens in Fargo every year. And that has also happened since our last little get-together.
Yeah, and we could spend hours talking about Fargo, right?
And
like, and which is this year I actually had a son kid competing in it, and I believe it or not, I didn't make it to Fargo, Al.
I was shocked.
Yeah,
but I know how it goes. It's not, I watched a lot of you know, junior duels in Fargo from my laptop, you know, while I was quote unquote working.
Yeah.
I know how it goes, right? There's only so many vacation days to go around and other kids' activities. And
yeah, like
the biggest, it's nerve-wracking, isn't it, Josh?
Well, it sure is. Like, oh man, I would have much rather been there, you know, for many reasons, you know, especially just for the social part of it.
The camaraderie is awesome,
yeah,
right?
With the other parents. And
anybody who ever gets a chance to go to Fargo, even if you got a kid that doesn't love Greco and that's the only way for them to get a spot or whatever it is, like, take that trip up to Fargo. It is a fun trip, and you really get to know other parents and wrestlers well, especially the parents. You know, you sit around and maybe people you've only seen cheering for the team, you're wrestling in a gym or whatever, you get to hang out with them and have a couple of drinks, whatever it is, and get to know them. And you really make friends that you stay in contact with for all of high school. And all of a sudden you find yourself cheering for kids from other schools just because you got to know their families. Like, these are good kids,
yeah,
good people, you know. And we know the vast majority of wrestling people are good people.
Oh,
so
yeah,
go up there and hang out in a town full of them.
Yeah,
there's no downside.
Full of them, literally full of them. Let's recap a little bit on Fargo, Al.
Well, let's start out with cadet/16U. Why don't you rattle off some of the people that had good weeks up there?
So do we want to start with freestyle or Greco?
Well, we've got freestyle, Greco, and gals, right, in both cadets and juniors. So I'll let you pick.
Okay.
Dealer's choice.
All right. I'm going to start with women's. At 152 pounds, Abigail Ervosti, she took fifth place. She's from, if I remember correctly, I want to say Bertha Hewitt, Verndale, Parker's Prairie. At 100 pounds, Aspen Blasco from Forest Lake, she took fifth place. And then we had two cadet champs. Ella Pegel, she won it. You know, she's from Northfield, and she is an absolute hammer, right?
I feel like I want to call her a friend of the show. We've got to someday over the next few years, because she still has plenty of time left. We've got to get her on the show someday.
Yeah, that should be manageable, right?
Like, right.
I mean, and then Skylar Little Soldier from Hastings, she also won it. They had, you know, well, you'll probably hear, that's not the last time you'll hear Skylar's name in this episode, right, as we go on to junior women's, but so those were the four All-Americans for the women's team this year, and congrats to the two champs and two fifth place finishers there.
Awesome.
Then let's go Greco here. So at 170 pounds, we had Maximus Hansen from BBE. He took seventh place.
Nice.
Now Max is one of those guys that he just wrestled Greco. He skipped the freestyle part and just went Greco.
Nice.
And there's lots of guys that'll wrestle freestyle.
Sure.
And skip the Greco. Not Max. Like, you know, I was talking to his dad at Cadet Duels, and he's, you know, we're talking about Fargo, this and that, and he says, yeah, he might just end up wrestling Greco. And it's like, you know, he's pretty dangerous at both styles.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, yeah, it's...
Well, so for Max, he's in the uncommon circumstance. In years past, it used to be Greco first and then freestyle, right?
Yes.
And used to be Greco first and then freestyle. And a lot of the freestylers, or that was their main focus, would skip Greco and they want to wait for freestyle. And the Greco numbers were down a lot. Or down in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so they switched it up, right? They do freestyle first and
yes,
then wrestle Greco now.
Yep.
The hope being, and I think they've been successful.
I think so.
Is that there's a number of kids who are more focused on freestyle or want to wrestle freestyle, and their freestyle tournament ends and they decide to stick around. Maybe they want to be a double All-American. Maybe they had a tough draw, went 0-2 in freestyle, want to keep wrestling. Whatever it is, they stick around and wrestle Greco. So that's worked pretty well, and they've had a little higher numbers in Greco in Fargo. But Max is on the other side of it. Like, I'm sure he would have preferred to have Greco first, and depending on how that went, how he felt, he maybe would have stuck around on freestyle too. But if Greco's what he likes,
yeah, he's one of those Greco guys. You know, which is congrats to Max and All-American there. The next All-American is Logan Swenson from Wayzata. He took fifth place. He had a great tournament at 113 pounds. Lawson Eller, he took fourth from New Prague. He actually double All-American.
Nice.
Travis Smith at 160 pounds, he took fourth place. And he was considering...
Travis is still a cadet.
He is. Oh, yeah. He had a great spring and summer season.
Oh, I believe like, it. I just, you know, you talk to him and you look at him, I just felt like he was older.
Yeah, he freaking, I think Cadet Duels, he went like 10-1 or something like that. And then, you know, All-American in Greco, when he went on a nice run. I think he maybe lost in the blood round in freestyle or real close to it. So he took a fourth place finish, and he was, my understanding was he was close to not competing in Greco. He was a few pounds overweight.
If they wrestled freestyle first, and he went on a run towards a blood round in a weight class that has a lot of, you know, some of those brackets, I don't know how big 170 was. I'm sure it wasn't little, but there were brackets with quite a few round of 256 matches.
Oh, yeah.
Not like one or two, like they hit 129 or 30 kids. Like they had 140, 50 kids.
Yeah, it was and he was in the 160-pound bracket, so I don't remember the numbers, but I know he wrestled plenty of matches.
Yeah, sure.
So then our next 160-pound All-American and finalist was Jed Wester. I mean, he was partying his way through the Greco tournament. If you want some entertaining matches, go watch his Greco stuff. He was launching guys. Jed's from St. Michael, Albertville. You know, he also double All-Americaned. Then Soren Herzog was also a finalist.
So that's a new name to me, Josh. Slightly new.
Soren is a new name to you. He is. He lives in the Invergrove Heights School District. He will be wrestling for Simley this year, and you know, probably later on when we get a little closer to the season, we'll talk a little bit more about Soren, and you know, maybe if we have a high school transfer portal episode.
Sure. What weight was that? Was that 220?
182.
182?
182, yeah.
I knew he was a bigger kid. I didn't know how big.
Yeah, so Soren moved, his family moved to Minnesota like the week after World Team Trials.
Oh, sure.
And there's actually an interesting, kind of an interesting story there on how they ended up here. And big Greco kid.
Love it.
But we probably don't have time to get into that today, so we'll save that for another episode.
Well, I'll say this. So he could, I'm trying to think. And you know what? There has been. Initially, I was going to say Simley has had some really good freestylers, maybe not quite as many good Greco guys. But then I start thinking about it. They've had good Greco, too.
Definitely more freestylers.
But more freestyle, right.
Yeah, they're definitely more freestyle-based. Then we had our first champ at 113 pounds, Austin Ladenbach from Apple Valley.
Nice.
And he won Northern Plains. He had a great Northern Plains tournament and just kept it rolling with Fargo. So congrats to Austin. And then Zach Hansen won his first of two titles at 132 pounds. Zach is from Lakeville North. And, man, he absolutely partied on everybody Fargo, right?
Like, yeah. Coach Paulson knew he was ready 2 weeks before or a week before when he showed up with a shaved head, and he was right.
He was totally right, and anyone who knows Zach when it comes to freestyle and Greco stuff, like, it not a big surprise that he was going to have a real good week. He's won at the youth level in freestyle and Greco for years. He really enjoys the styles and embraces them and just loves the fight, as his coach says.
We've talked before about at Fargo, especially in those giant freestyle Greco brackets, there's obviously tons and tons of skill involved and required, but an absolute requirement to make a deep run at Fargo is toughness, like grit and mental toughness, because you cannot win 6, 7, 8 matches in a row without being mentally tough. Because even if you're rolling guys up, you're going to get a little dinged up here and there. You're going to get sore and tired. So making any sort of run in these styles, all these kids that you've already mentioned, we will mention, like, they've got some toughness in them no matter what. And you make two runs to the finals.
Yeah, what a week.
Yeah.
So that rounds out our Greco guys. So, you know, we had 8 All-Americans and then Cadet Greco, or I'm sorry, I call it Cadet, it's a 16U. Now, do you know why they changed the name to 16U?
I think it was just related to the UWW stuff, the international stuff. They referred to it as 16U for whatever reason, and I have no idea if Cadet's some sort of offensive word in some other country or what.
Well, I'm going to keep calling it Cadet, Al.
Yeah, well, we will.
Okay, perfect.
We're old.
So let's go into Cadet Freestyle. In 8th place at 88 pounds from New Prague, Lawson Eller.
He double
All-American. Then in 8th place at 182 pounds from Simley, Soren Herzog.
Nice.
You know, really nice way to break into the Minnesota wrestling scene. I mean, right. His first event was the cadet duels, and then had a great Fargo, obviously. Then at 100 pounds in sixth place was Blake Beisel from Hastings. Great tournament for Blake. 152 pounds from Thief River Falls, Griffin Lundeen. He took sixth. Now keep an eye on him for next year.
Yeah.
Because he had a great high school folk style season this year. He had a great spring and summer. He looks really good, and he's going to cause some people some fits next year in the high school season.
I believe it.
Then Jed Wester, he took sixth place, another double All-American. Again, like Jed had some very entertaining matches. I would encourage anyone who's just bored.
Go check out some of those.
Go watch some of them. At 94 pounds from Elbert Lee, we had Michael Olson. He took fifth place. At 120 pounds, Tyler Wells took third. Tyler's from Princeton. He's a two-time state champ. And former world champion, actually.
World U15 champion. World champ, right?
Freestyle.
What's a freestyle? Freestyle. Believe you.
Yeah, he's not.
I had Greco in my mind, but yep.
Oh, he's a freestyle guy, and I think he lost to the eventual champ. I mean, he had, that was his only loss. He had a great tournament. At 126 pounds, Landon Robidoux took second. Landon's from St. Michael, Albertville. Keep an eye on him. His stock just keeps going up and up and up.
You keep mentioning these St. Michael guys that are cadets still and winning stuff.
Yeah, they got some tough
kids. Their covers
kids.
Are not dry, are they?
They are not dry not at bare. All. Like, they maybe got a little bit of a log jam and a couple weights. Then another finalist at 285 pounds from Eden Prairie, Will Saylor, took second.
Yeah, what a run he had, huh?
Man, he did. You know, he started the spring off winning Folksdale Nationals.
Yep.
And then, you know, he just had a great spring and summer, like so many of these other guys' names that we're mentioning. Congrats to Will and taking second there. Then we had, at 195 pounds, Max McAnally from Waconia. He ended up winning the thing, and if you watched his matches, boy, they were entertaining.
Yeah.
The guy can score some points, can he?
He puts points on the board in a hurry.
Jeez, he moves his feet so well for a guy his size, and man, he scores. And it was interesting. I saw a tweet that Mike Torgerson, a wrestling dad from Anoka, said, you know, like tweeted – at him or was a reply to a tweet and said, like, wrestling is your path.
Right.
And I know this guy is good.
Yeah.
And then Zach Hansen at 132 pounds.
Double champ.
Yeah. Like what a spring and summer for those guys. Congrats to all those all Americans and finalists.
I think Zach's Minnesota number one release graphic included a picture of him right after he won one of those titles.
I think so. Yeah. I think it was one of the first ones.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Very awesome.
I challenged his dad. His dad sent me that picture and asked if it was okay, and I said, it's perfect. You couldn't find a better one. No, I said I'd give him $10 if he found a better one. And 10 minutes later, I got an email that said I can Venmo him. It was a picture of Zach when he was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, you know, with the singlet that's way too big, the headgear draping off his head. Cutest dang picture you've seen. I'm like, all right. I owe Todd $10, by the way.
Well, congrats to the cadet athletes this summer. I mean, those are the guys and girls, the All-Americans that are that's what I got for you for cadets. Al, you want to roll into juniors?
Yeah, I'll do juniors. We'll start out with the gals, junior women. We had a name that you've already heard. Skylar Little Soldier got fourth in juniors, and she is cadet eligible. She was All-American there as well, right? So not only did she win two medals that weekend, but one was up in age group.
It's
great weekend.
Great weekend.
At third place, Nina Makem, right, from Shakopee. She wrestled for us in the Minnesota number one last year. She got third place. Also finishing in third place, Katarina Lang, JCC, right? No, gosh, I do that all the time.
You're close.
I do that all the time.
Right way, Fairmont, Martin County,
yes,
West.
Yes,
she's a Red Bull.
Red Bull. Talk about a hammer, man.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, Gaushua Whitethorn won it from Apple Valley. Another competitor for us in Minnesota number one.
Well, Gaushua is, I got to correct you there, she used to be in Apple Valley. Now she's in Dover, Yoda.
Oh, that's right.
She went from one eagle to another eagle. One eagle's nest to another eagle's nest.
She wanted to keep the apparel the same, apparently.
Yes. You know, just...
And from the looks of it, she has not slowed down.
No, good man, for her. What a good tournament she had.
Yeah. Super good. So, yeah, had four place winners, four All-Americans at the junior level for women. In Greco, right, we had not a name unfamiliar to Greco fans. In Minnesota, Eli Paulson got eighth place in juniors at Greco. Seventh place. We almost hit for the cycle in junior Greco, but not quite. We missed a couple. So eighth was Eli. Seventh, Walker Bentz, Minnesota number one competitor. He got seventh.
Yep.
Coy Biskins got sixth. Up the line, fifth place, Brandon Morvari. We missed a fourth. Alan Kaler got third. And finalist Kyle Bakke from Princeton.
He had one heck of a tournament, right?
And that's a kid, you know, we've known Kyle forever, right? And part of it is your nephew used to wrestle him and stuff. But Kyle, super tough kid. He was just always kind of skirted in behind some sort of hammers. You know, I think last year he actually went 0-2 in a triangular, right, in that limited high school season. Well, the two losses were Derek Cardinal and Jory Volk.
He did, yeah. Like,
but Kyle is an absolute hammer, and he put it all together and made the finals in Fargo. That was a nice run for him.
And he beat some freaking studs on the way. Like, you know, Weston Dalton from Colorado, he beat him. He beat Ramon Ramos from Arizona. That kid was, you know, just blazing through Fargo.
Right.
He had just... Grant Odell from Iowa, and he wrestled for Iowa City West. I mean, he beat some hammers on his way to the finals. Good for him.
Yeah, great work for everybody. Nice job, Kyle, there. And that was it for Junior Greco. Moving on to Junior Freestyle, we had fifth place, Bennett Tabor, the Bull Moose, had a nice tournament. Fifth place as well, Kale Swenson. In fourth place, Bennett Berge. Alan Kaler, familiar name there. He got third in freestyle. So Alan got third in both styles. You know, we've talked to people before that believe third place is better is not the right term, but third place is more fun than second. You know, obviously you want to win it, but it's nice to finish on a win and make that run on the backside when needed. And Alan figured out a way to only lose two matches on the whole weekend.
How many matches did he wrestle?
I don't know. I should have looked that up because it's got to be a ton.
It has to be.
And he would have been in some of those brackets that had Pigtail said 128, right? Like the 256s. Those are big brackets. Next up, the one-armed man from Lakeville, Jory.
Yeah.
Jory Volk got third. And we knew he had a bum elbow, but I didn't realize how bum it was. He's actually had surgery since Fargo, but... He literally went through that bracket, tough bracket, and got third with one arm. It looked like he was wrestling. What's his name from Iowa? He used to wrestle for Drexler, DeSanto.
How
some guys will put their elbow back
so they can't get elbow control to the
fireman. Like Jory kind of did that just because he couldn't use it, but he had a very impressive one arm run.
Yeah, with Jory healthy. Taking Jory, I mean, just all day long. He's just an absolute animal. And I know we've talked about him plenty on the show.
Right.
And deservedly so. Like, if you go watch what that guy did with one arm.
Yeah.
You know, we just actually saw him last weekend.
We did, and all smiles, right? Typical. But he had that big elbow brace on. He's already had surgery. And, you know, so, like, that's a name. We're going to talk – we're almost there. We're going to talk about Miso number one next. And – Some of the differences from last year and challenges. And last year we had some kids with injuries too, but like Jory's a kid that was certainly going to compete for us and just couldn't. He's got to get that elbow fixed. So,
right. But
good for him. That's really impressive run with that arm. And then Brandon Morvari made the finals as well. He also double All-American. He got second place in freestyle.
And I think he was a late addition to the Greco scene. You know, I know he went up there to... focus on freestyle.
Yeah.
Had a great tournament, made the finals, you know, and decided, I don't know.
Felt good enough to keep keep rolling.
Yeah, as coaches or buddies or what, or maybe just him. He's like, yeah, you know, let's do Greco too. And so.
Well, that so that's the example I was mentioning earlier, right? A guy like Brandon would probably not have wrestled Greco in the old days with Greco first, but instead they got that stud to wrestle both styles, and he proved it, was an All-American both styles. So I think the schedule change was good.
Yeah, I like it.
I think in the old days, they felt like junior freestyle was like the quote-unquote premier event, so they wanted to finish with the finals of that on Saturday night or something.
Oh.
But, you know, when you have a whole week of wrestling, there's enough to go around. You don't have to hold something for 7 days.
Yeah, it's all right if that happens a couple days earlier.
Right, right. So, yeah, so that's what we got. Had six junior freestyle All-Americans, six junior Greco All-Americans, and we had four junior women All-Americans, including a champ. So nice run for Minnesota there too.
Yeah, very good. The six in freestyle, six in Greco, and four in women's. Okay.
I think that's what I had.
You know, I think Coy, you know, we're talking about number of matches, and Coy, he All-American in Greco. I think he lost in the blood round in freestyle. I think he wrestled like 18 matches or something like that.
Is he trying to break Chase DeBlair's record? Because the last time I was at Fargo in person, I watched Chase DeBlair make, I'm not so sure he didn't lose a little early in both styles. And he made runs all the way back to the blood round in giant brackets in both styles.
Oh, my gosh.
So he came home with no medals.
Oh.
And at least, I don't even know how many, he might have had 14 matches, right? Like, it was crazy. Both styles.
That's oh my gosh, they add up. If you get into that loser's side
right
early, oof.
Yeah, the more you stay on the right side of the bracket, the better for those, because those backside grinds get big.
So much better. But pretty productive year for Minnesota up at Fargo, especially at the cadet level. You know, they did
right
when they finished. I mean, they finished second in. Did they finish second in both styles?
They definitely did in freestyle. And I don't remember in Greco. They had to be up there a bit, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, they finished. They took second in Pennsylvania.
In Greco?
Yeah.
That's got to be a typo. Pennsylvania doesn't wrestle Greco, do they?
They usually don't.
In the old days, they didn't.
I don't know, Dirty Dogs. How many guys did they have there, I wonder?
It used to just be Illinois. It was Greco dominant years ago, but everybody's catching up to Anoka.
Yes.
Trying to, right?
Trying.
Like the goal.
That is, great, great summer for Minnesota wrestling.
Well, and first and foremost, it was great that we had wrestling for Minnesota kids, right?
Yeah, they didn't have to go to Iowa or Wisconsin Dells or,
Missouri and Bettendorf and all those crazy
dual tournaments to squeeze in and actually get to compete. Yeah, this summer is so much better than a year ago, you know, which was, let's keep that rolling as we get in to start the high school year here in a couple weeks.
So speaking of having wrestling this year and not last year, next topic we're going to touch on, right, is Minnesota number one. This event, for those of you that are new, last year, in the middle of the summer, Josh was contacted by a guy who said, we've got to have some sort of wrestling event up here. Josh says, well, I don't know how we can. He said, no, we can. One thing led to another, and all kinds of work and effort went into it by a whole bunch of people. And last year in August, we had the first annual Minnesota number one event. It sounds similar to like a Who's Number One, right? Which is a flow thing. They do it nationally. But we had a similar deal in Minnesota. One difference we had was we don't do rankings. You know, Al and Josh have no rankings. And and we're not associated with the guillotine even, right? Like, we love the guillotine and we work with them, but we're not part of their ranking process. So anyway, our goal wasn't necessarily to have let's find the top two kids at each particular weight class, have them cut a bunch of weight, have them make weight, show up and wrestle and see who gets that number one ranking to start the season. It was, let's see if we can find a bunch of studs who need to wrestle and put them in a really cool event and bring them on board. And we did that last year, and it was just a crazy success. Everything went awesome. Got it up in Minnetonka, an outdoor event at the shop up there. We had 26 matches. We talked about it after the state tournament. I think we had, what did we have? Two girls matches last year or three?
I want to say two, right?
Two girls and two what we called up-and-comers that were guys that were really good but a little bit smaller. And then we had another 13 matches. And out of those 26 wrestlers, I think we had 22 state champions, and three of the four that didn't win state titles lost to other guys also in the Minnesota number one event. Like, you couldn't have scripted any better. We just had everything worked out great. People were hungry to wrestle. There was no Fargo. There was no junior duels. We didn't know if there was going to be a high school season, if there was going to be a football season at the time. And so everybody was dying to come.
Yeah.
And they did, and they put on a show. It was phenomenal. We all had a blast. Those kids all stayed on a roll and had great high school seasons. So this year, our second annual event, and when I say ours, it's not the Alan Josh Minnesota number one, but we're two guys that jump in the fray and help this committee out. There's a guy named Mark Christensen, right, who needs a ton of credit.
Oh.
Like, Mark's name doesn't get thrown around ever. He's the goofball that came up with this idea to begin with and convinced Josh it could work. And then Josh said, well, let's see if Al will help and some other guys and everything else. But Mark Christensen really was the driving force last year, and he has been working tirelessly this year to help behind the scenes. You know, his name isn't on any Twitter accounts or anything that are releasing matchups, but he's been the guy that has picked up the slack wherever needed. There's a bunch of people helping out, but he's got a contract signed with Flow. This is going to be a Flow wrestling event, so if you're a Flow subscriber, you can watch this event for free there. There will be no pay-per-view outside of that, like typical Flow, right? It's a subscription-based service, but if you want to stream it, you can watch it. We are going to have in-person ticket sales this year. Last year, with some of the COVID restrictions, we had very, very limited fan capacity. This year, we're opening it up to fans. It'll be $15 a head, and bring your own chair. The event will be hopefully outside in the parking lot right next to the shop up in Minnetonka. And by the way, we'll tweet this out. The tweet may be out before the episode, but we'll have info with where it's at and stuff. We're going to allow fans. It's an outdoor event, so you'll have to bring your own chair. And, you know, there's not stadium seating, so it's not like the perfect sight lines for 1,000 people. But we're all wrestling fans, and we're going to make it work.
Get there early to get a good seat.
Get there early, yeah.
But if one of the kids' wrestling's parents don't get there as early, maybe make room for them to get front row when their kids are competing.
Yeah, so we're going to have to try to figure that. Hopefully all the wrestlers' families get there with them a little bit early, and we can make sure they've got seats. And if not, we'll get a little section and rotate if we have to.
You know, like last year, let's keep our fingers crossed that the weather cooperates.
Right.
You know, we got really lucky last year. It was a beautiful day, right?
Well, it was just great.
Perfect.
Just a touch warm, but no rain, clear skies.
So I'm going to hope for that again, because, you know, we can move it indoors if need be, but it's definitely going to be a better product outside.
Better outside. And if we do have to move it inside, there are going to be some restrictions on how many people can be inside a building at once, just for fire codes and stuff. And so there's no ticket pre-sales. Plan on showing up there. And especially if there's any chance of inclement weather, follow us on Twitter and the MN1Wrestle on Instagram. And we will post updates throughout the morning with, you know, all things green light go, or it looks like we may have to move it inside. You may want to stream it as opposed to... We'll keep people updated as best we can, but we're hoping it'll be outside. That would be ideal.
That would be. So we got the matches we've been releasing.
Yep, we've got. By the time this comes out, they'll all be released. We've got 15 matches scheduled this year. We've got 3 girls matches, 12 boys matches. The girls are going to wrestle folk style, because Woo, woo. They're also wrestling folk style for MSHSL this year.
Yeah, they the sports sanction form. They're going to be wrestling folk style during the high school season. We might as well wrestle folk style during this.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, it really simplifies the event. Last year, we were very lucky to have the Crease tandem there to, you know, father-son combo to help referee the freestyle matches for us.
Both Creases and Rob Crow.
Right. Shakopee connection. But it will be easier to keep. We're going to have three top-notch officials again, and we'll be able to just rotate through and not have to switch back and forth to paddles and folk style scoring and stuff. So gals can be wrestling folk style just like the boys. We did have, like I say, by the time this comes out, you'll see all the matches. You'll notice we did have a tough time with some big guys, Josh. We had a tough time this year in general, right? Last year we talked about it. People were super hungry to compete. They want to wrestle in the worst way. If I got to wrestle up 22 pounds, I don't care, right? I want to wrestle.
Right.
And this year, a lot of people still want to wrestle. I've exchanged a bunch of texts and DMs today, and it's been super refreshing. Like I got a text from one of the wrestlers. Hey, I talked to the guy I'm wrestling. We're going to weigh in at X, so neither one of us have to cut weight.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Right, which, as we'll talk about, that was our goal anyway. We don't want to keep people cutting weight. But the boys took it in their own hands. Just say, hey, what do you weigh? I'm about this. What about you? I can weigh that. Okay, done.
How nice is that?
Oh, it was awesome.
You know, those are two guys that you know, are in different classes. And, you know, it's an A versus double A matchup. And they got to live 4 hours apart from each other. You know,
They just took it upon themselves. So kind of starting to jump all over here. Let's take a step back.
Okay.
Let's talk about the selection process, and we'll talk about some challenges. So we have one criteria for selection. If you are a returning state champ, meaning you won a state title in Minnesota last year and you have not graduated, you are invited. And for as many years as this event happens, that won't be the case. And if some year we have all juniors win state titles and all of them want to wrestle, we will find matches for 52 guys or whatever, 42 guys. My math is slow.
42
guys. We'll find them though, right? It's not going to happen. There's going to be seniors win titles and guys aren't going to be able to compete. But so that's our only criteria, is every single state champ that comes back is invited. From there, we start looking around and try to find where do we need guys and who's available that can wrestle, that is, you know, a top guy. Like, for instance, Zach Hansen did not win a state title last year. He got beat by five-time state champ Derek Cardinal. Four-time state champ Derek Cardinal in a really good match in the finals. But he didn't win a state title, so he was not automatically invited. However, we needed someone to wrestle, and Zach fit the bill, right? So we filled in.
Mentioned him a little earlier in the show.
Right. More than once.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that all plays out. Well, if you look, for instance, at heavyweight, right? We took a spreadsheet and took at each of the three classes the top returning place winner. And at heavyweight, it was very senior heavy last year.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty common, but it was super senior heavy. We had a hard time finding big guys. And guess what? This year, kids are playing football. We actually ran into at least three different kids who were committed to wrestle, except they had a football scrimmage that day. And so they couldn't, right? And I get it, right? As cool of an event as it is, if they've got...
It's their football
season. They
can't
give
man.
Up a football season
no, they,
for a single day event. And so we lost some guys for that. There's a good chance next year we'll do it maybe on a Sunday instead of a Saturday and see if we can avoid some of those.
Yeah, cross that football scrimmage conflict off the...
And we'll probably still lose a football player or two just because, but at least they're not going to have a direct conflict with the scrimmage.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that works.
I mean, that was a challenge we didn't have to face last
year. Last
year
was a non-issue.
I mean, it just was a non-issue because there wasn't a football season yet.
Right.
You know, there's maybe no football season in sight at the time.
I remember last year when we first started talking about, we first started getting names, getting kids committed, it was a real challenge, right? We had to figure out who's going to wrestle who, because the next thing I want to mention is there are no weight classes associated with these matches. That's because we do not make these kids cut weight. Period. Our goal is that everybody will wrestle another stud that's about their same walk-around weight. And we may have three matches within 7 pounds, none of which are an official high school weight class, and we may jump up 15 pounds before our next match. We're not going to announce weight classes because there aren't any. We're not going to announce what the kids weighed. But we just made sure all the kids are within a few pounds of each other walk-around weight. And in a few cases, we had a kid that was maybe 6, 8, 10 pounds, big kids, 10 pounds smaller. And we just talked to the wrestlers. Hey, this guy weighs this. You weigh that. Are you okay with it? Yep, I'm fine. If they would have said, he's a little too big, we'd have talked to him and had him lose a couple pounds. But we don't want kids worried right now about cutting weight. We want them wrestling, having fun, and competing. So there's no weight classes, and we will have weigh-ins to make sure they weigh about what they said they did.
Yep.
Right? If some sly fox rolls in 14 pounds over, if he says I weigh 114 and he rolls in at 138, then we'll deal with it that day. But I don't anticipate
Zach those Hansen problems. Rolls in at 160 pounds.
Right?
We're gonna have an issue. I don't expect that to happen, but
yeah. So that's that, and that explains. We've had a number of people over both last year and this year, text and DM and email, like who's wrestling this weight class and what weight class is that competed at. And the answer is there are no weight classes. They're really good wrestlers that are competing and going to put on a show and not worry about cutting weight.
So that's the. It's not a straight up duel. We know that,
nope.
Right? The kids will get a Minnesota number one gear bag, right? A gear package. They'll get a singlet, a bag, probably a t-shirt, shorts, something like that.
Yep.
I know last year that it was a really good event. It was a lot of fun. I expect this year to be the same. Where else do we want to go with this before we start talking about the wrestling?
Well,
for the
matchups?
We
talk about, last year we streamed on track wrestling, and one of the reasons that track was chosen is Dennis, right?
Yeah, Dennis Lemire.
Yeah, who is a Stillwater guy who worked for track and is just an awesome dude that's really good at stuff like this. And we knew things would work well and smoothly with him. And since last year, Flo has purchased track, and so we're happy to say that Dennis now works for Flo and is going to be involved in the event again. So, it's comforting to us, right? Because we all figured out a way to make this work last year, but we're not professional producers of events, So having a guy like Dennis around last year was awesome, and it will be awesome to have him again. So it'll be streamed on Flow, $15 in person. And there's going to be food trucks this year.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Hopefully there's two. There's two that are lined up tentatively, two different food trucks. But it'll be pretty nice to have a little food on site available there instead of, eating granola bars out of a cooler. And those food trucks are there for the fans. The wrestlers have already been told, but the wrestlers, they can bring their own if they have specific food they want to eat before they wrestle. But if you're coming as a fan, we'd really appreciate if you can just support the food trucks that come and provide some good options for you there. What else? 4 p.m. August 28th. Didn't actually mention that. It's out there, but it's August 28th, Saturday. It'll be 4 p.m., weather pending. So let's say that we have just a little questionable weather and we need to push it back a half hour or start it a little early. We might. But hopefully weather's clear all day, and if it's not, we'll more than likely move it inside and go with the 4 p.m. start.
Okay. It's the Al, I got to be honest. I want to talk matchups, man.
Let's do it.
It's the you and your logistics are the
it's not very exciting, is it?
Yeah, no, let's freaking talk. Let's talk matches, man.
Let's talk something fun.
Let's freaking. What was the first match you released?
I think it was probably Ambrose and Nelson, wasn't it?
106-pound state champ from AA versus 106-pound state champ from Class A. Right? Jack Nelson out of Mound West Tonka is going to be wrestling Nolan Ambrose from JCC. That should be a fun one. That's like in a perfect world, you always try and get a state champ on a state champ, right?
Right.
And this is one of those weights where we were – one of those matches where we were able to do that. That should be a fun one. I think they're both going to be sophomores.
Yep.
And both came off just great seasons, and we're going to find out, this Saturday who's the man out of them two.
Right.
Should be a good one. Okay, what's the next match?
Well, I actually don't have handy in front of me the order they were released, but I know one of the early ones we released was Thomas Dineen versus Jacob Meisner.
Oh yeah, Tommy Dineen from Benson,
right?
He was a state champ this past year in Class A, and Jacob Meisner is also a state champ in Triple A. There's another state champ on state champ
and
match.
And what weight class did Dineen win it at? Was it 82 or
95? Oh gosh, I want to say feels like 85. 80.
Well,
but
yeah, maybe. So Meister won his at 220.
Yeah.
He was actually a kid that was not a full-size 220. But he wrestled up, had an awesome state tournament, beat some good kids. You can see he's not missed time in the weight room if you look at that release photo. Yeah, so him and Benson, that should be a really fun match.
Yeah, him and Dineen.
Dineen.
From Benson. Yeah, that would be those are a couple of the big guys that we were able to get. That was
well. The nice thing is, I love any wrestling, including great big heavyweights who are excellent at underhooks and keep position. Those two are not going to just hang out in underhooks and keep position. They're goers.
Man, and they move. They'll be fun. Super athletic. Like they're gonna put some points on the board. That should be a very fun match to watch. Let's roll. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Al, give me another one.
How about Hudson Burnett, Logan Swenson?
Oh, okay. So we got a Class A state champ there in Hudson Burnett from Pipestone. He's going to be wrestling the runner-up, Logan Swenson from Wayzata. The small school versus big school, those are always fun to see.
Well, I mean, that's really... So in the old days, we talked about this last year, in the old days with a two-class system, it was perfect, right? We could have invited each state champ and pitted them against each other and hopefully got a bunch of them to come. With three classes, it doesn't get as easy. Sometimes you got two or three guys that are coming and whatever, but everybody loves single A versus triple A. There's just something extra about that, right? Like some of the single A guys feel like they, they don't get enough credit, right, for having good wrestling in single A. And I love all the single A triple A matchups. Anytime you can get one, it's fun.
Yeah, that should be a good one. Their weights,
both come from wrestling families.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, right. Like
right, Kale wrestled last year.
Kale wrestled last year, and he just went off to start his school at South Dakota State, and then Hudson's older brother Hunter wrestles for Augustana.
Right.
So, yeah, these guys. That should be a good one. Probably realistically, there's not too many opportunities for those guys to meet up during the high school season.
No, they just wouldn't run across each other, right? Pipestone's not going to make a trek down here to tournaments. Up here to tournaments that Wayzata's in.
That'll be a fun one. Another fun one.
If anybody's laughing about that pause, it's because Josh is pointing up to me, and I apologize to the Pipestone people and all the other outstate people. Josh is our geographical expert, and Al is not. So sometimes I assume if I don't know where school is, it must be way up north.
Yeah.
And I know it's Pipestone.
Let's see.
But... are they green and black, Josh?
Yeah, green and white.
Green and white.
Green and white. But they're green and black.
Green is their main non-north. Right, so it's not like I'm totally unfamiliar, but I'm just very geographically challenged.
Yeah, you're right.
So that was a pause. Josh was helping me out
there. Yeah, he said down here, Pipestone, for Al, Pipestone is in southwest Minnesota, so they're not coming down here.
And Studio 2 is not south of southwest Minnesota.
So every once in a while, like if you could see the video, if we were on video right now,
someday
that's in the process. But there's a pause like that for every once in a while.
And then we got to chuckle while I unembarrass myself.
No. All right, give me another one. Let's talk.
How about Kaler Aho?
Ooh, yeah. Now that's an interesting matchup. Alan Kaler from Prior Lake.
Yeah.
Talked about him a bunch earlier. Wrestled three dozen matches at Fargo on his way to taking third in both both styles versus Jacob Aho, who was Kaler's state champ from Prior Lake, and Aho, I believe, took fourth. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
For Forest Lake last year?
Yeah.
Very different styles, very different builds. Could be really entertaining to watch that match and see how that goes just because of the stylistic matchups. It's going to be fun. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
The Kaler he was one of those guys that, you know, I got to give Alan a lot of credit here. He helps setting up an event like this go smoothly, because he pretty much said he'll wrestle anybody.
Whatever weight, whatever, yeah.
Bring him on, you know, just tell me when and where and I'm in.
And he's got a style that you have to work kind of hard to slow that style down and make it a boring match. And Jacob Aho will not try to slow it down and make it boring.
Yeah, no chance. Right? That could be a really high-flying match. that one. Hey, are we gonna do a poll again this year to see what match is gonna be the end? I mean, yeah, like absolutely. We did last year, Twitter poll.
Yeah, maybe after we get done recording, we'll take a look at the matchups. We'll pick out three or four of them and throw out a Twitter poll the next day or two, and we'll let the fans choose. Absolutely, yeah, the fans can pick.
Yeah, I think that was fun last year. Give me another one, Al.
How about Brandon Ross, Christian Noble? So I mentioned it earlier. I'll just go ahead and give these kids credit. These were the two that texted me. They talked to each other to make sure that they were reasonable weights and figured it out and said, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do. And I think it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, talk about, you know, just back in our day, that wasn't a thing you did, right? I mean,
no.
It would be really
hard.
Well,
we didn't have
then.
Texting. You yeah, like... call, you would have had to wait till after 8 o'clock when long distance was free and maybe get the three party line going.
Yeah, seriously, it would have been for these guys, it would have been a long distance call for sure. Caledonia to Big Lake or Big Lake to Caledonia, it's technology has changed the game so much, and you know, these guys can text each other.
Well, it's great too, right? These two are going to go duke it out this weekend, and they're texting each other, kind of shoot the breeze, figuring out what they want to weigh.
Yeah,
how awesome is that? That's like good kids,
and that's, you know, that's the way something, an event like this should be, you know. So
that's our hope, right?
Brandon Ross, he is a defending state champ from Caledonia, and he's going to be taking on the two-time state champ from Big Lake, Christian Noble. Ross is a runner-up 2 years ago, so these guys, you know, both of them have been in the state finals the last 2 years.
Right, and Noble got third before his last two championships, so five top three finishes in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that could be a... another one of those matches, man. Keep an eye on it. And it's good, you know, get those guys a chance to compete against each other, because A versus AA, you know, geographically, they're not anywhere near each other. So, you know, this isn't a match that's going to be something that'll be that easy to see during the high school season. So, extra, you know, bonus for us wrestling fans.
Yeah. So, we've talked Zach Hansen, right? Awesome summers, doing good, looking awesome. Who's he got? We're going to throw him out against three-time state champ, Drayden Morton.
Yeah,
right? Let's let it roll, man.
Yes, Drayden Morton from Sibley East.
I'm going to break the news. This might be in a poll for the top or for the finale match.
You think
I believe.
This is one that could be. Yeah, that big school versus small school, triple A versus single A. Zach coming off just one heck of a summer, and Drayden, you know, say three-time defending state champ, like. This will get a lot of votes in that poll.
Well, going to the state finals last year, neither one of them had lost. And Zach's match, right? Good match with Cardinal.
Yeah.
So yeah, these two are right for this event. That is for sure.
That will be a fun one.
How about Coy Biskins versus four-time finalist Max Peterson?
Now, this is one of my favorites.
Yes.
I really like this matchup, partly because Coy can be so hard to score on.
Right.
And Max likes to score so much.
He loves to score.
Know? So the...
So Max has actually gotten third the last 3 years, right?
No. Because he lost in the finals this year to DeBlair.
Not third, second the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He's a four-time finalist. He won it as an eighth grader.
Yes.
Has made the finals every year since and has run into some sort of hammer every year. And so he is just, I'm sure, dying to start off his senior year. He's going to be a senior.
Yes.
I should know these things. He's going to be a senior, yeah. He's going to be a senior, ready to start his senior off and say, I'm going to win this thing again, right? Bookend the state titles with his high school career. And he gets to start this off with a preseason match with Coy.
Yeah, that you know, spoiler alert, this might be one of those matches that's in the poll, too.
So we've got two so far.
You know, like,
for sure.
I should be writing these down.
Right?
I think this is one of the most intriguing matches of the event.
Right.
Like, man, it that thing could be electric. Yeah, that's looking forward to that one for sure. Give me that. What
another
else?
One?
Yeah,
give me another one. How about the two longest 152 60 pounders you can think of?
Well, then you have to be talking about Landon Johnson from Owatonna, right?
Like, of course.
He's going to be wrestling Peyton Honovit from Jackson County Central, our second JCC guy in the event.
And I apologize to Peyton, but unfortunately, every time I say his name, I'm probably going to talk about my favorite, one of my top two or three favorite wrestling pictures ever, when he was a 106-pounder, wrestled that kid from Canby.
Yeah.
I mean, Peyton was what? 4'8" maybe, and he was wrestling a 5'10" guy. The picture's phenomenal. I'm sure that'll probably come out this year.
I imagine it usually does when we talk about it. Someone usually tweets it because it is a great picture. It is this great, you know, depiction of wrestling.
It's awesome. Like, and, you know, this is a match that was super easy to put together. Like, both kids didn't really care what the weights were. They didn't say, well, are you sure? Like, just ready to wrestle, ready to rip, super excited to get on the mat and let it fly. And, Landon had a very entertaining match last year.
Oh, he had a great match with Jude Link.
That
was one of my favorites. That was an awesome match. And I imagine we'll see the same thing out of these two this year. This could be one of those ones that is just, again, small school versus big school, Class A versus Triple A. There's a chance these guys could meet during the season, you know, because they both go to the Christmas tournament,
right?
You know, cross paths maybe in another tournament somewhere else is a possibility. But, you know, a lot of times in duels, you don't always get those marquee matchups, you know. So this one, it's just another one, man. Great job by the committee putting these guys together.
You just mentioned Jude Link. He's back again this year. Compete again. He's taking on state champ Cole Becker, STMA guy.
Yeah, that should be a fun one too.
Yeah.
You know, Jude, I think he's coming off a little bit of a nagging injury. And Cole Becker was kind of, you know, he's, anyone who knows Cole, he's about one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet, right? He's like, yeah, I'll wrestle anybody. Sure, you know.
Right.
Let's do it. And Jude is another one who's really easy to, you know, twist his arm to get him to compete.
Man, I tell you what, there were times you get so nervous, like an email or a DM or something comes in from a kid or more often from a parent, and you're not even sure you want to open it, right? Like, oh man, what's going to happen here? Is someone going to be, you know, whining about a weight or complaining about something? And we've had so few issues with that this year. The guys are actually in the event, like, awesome to work with across the board. Every guys and gals, both, like the parents and the kids, have been awesome.
Yeah, that's and that's nice. It just makes it so much easier.
It's already enough work without that, right? Without I got a text today about a weight, like, what does someone weigh? And I'm like, oh well, I think he's a few pounds heavier. Is this going to be some sort of, no worries, just wondering.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll make sure he eats breakfast that day.
Yeah,
no cares. That's right. Awesome.
Very fun.
Next up, we've got about Bryce Burkett and Brendan House.
No, that's an interesting matchup. Bryce, he's one of the young guns in the event, right?
Very young gun, right? Is he a freshman this year?
He's going to be a freshman. He's from Watertown, Mayor, right? And Brendan House is a senior from Anoka.
Right.
The both strong kids. That should be, excuse me, I just broke my stool down here, Al.
Studio 2 might need a sponsorship for a school or a stool. Or we'll just get a wood screw out of the shop and fix it.
Yeah, I almost bit it. Okay, so where are we at? Oh, Bryce and
House. House is three-time place winner, right?
Yeah.
Very credentialed.
Hammering.
Bryce Burkett, guy that a lot of like semi-serious fans, unless their kid happened to be his weight, didn't necessarily know his name 2 years ago. And Bryce came on strong last year, and a lot of people. Josh is really struggling with that chair down there. We do need video for this. He's strong arming it back together. He'll be back in the saddle
back
soon.
Back in business now, Al. Just in case you guys are wondering what's going on here, Al tried to sabotage me, and I think he sawed my stool. saw through a couple of legs.
I think one of the dogs must have chewed it up.
Fraction of it.
Shout out to Yeti and Dexter not bugging us right now. Yeah. They've been crazy all night during our prep, and they've been pretty calm for the last hour, so that's good.
It is good. Okay, I'm back, Alan.
All right. How's Burkett? Let's go. We're still rolling here. Cole Glazier, Landon Godey.
Oh, yeah, I like that matchup now. Cole Glazier, Caston Manorville, right? And Godey, Landon, the younger of the Godey brothers from Long Prairie Great Eagle Browerville. I'm just trying to think in my head what weight roughly those guys are going to weigh.
Well, I could tell you, but I'm not going to.
Don't.
I'm not going to. I could tell you this, that both of them are totally fine with it.
Well, it's... Yeah, I mean, I love it. Like, Cole Glazier last year, he took third in the state tournament, right?
Right.
But I think he only had one loss on the season, and that was the semifinals against eventual state champion Cale Berg.
Didn't he run into something at the Simley-Casson-Stillwater duel?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Now that you say that, yes.
In fact, it might have been one of those where an absolute stud had an 0-2 day.
Yeah, he did. He lost to
Tuttle
and Cale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he came back and beat Cale.
Right.
Individual sections. And then, they're on the same side of the bracket at the state tournament. And
right.
Then Cale got him again there. But, yeah, Godey was a runner-up last year.
Last 2 years.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His brother won it, and he took second, right?
Yeah.
So that should be a really fun match, man. Those guys got to be hungry
and
to beat
on that's a good question, what they're going to weigh, right? Because we know Cole's a little bigger. Godey wrestled 132 2 years ago, and then 152. So, you know, if we didn't announce who he was wrestling, you'd really wonder what weight class was at, because it could be anywhere from 152 to 195.
Yeah.
Right, a guy like that, yeah, hits a growth spurt. But you could probably guess about what they weigh.
Well, that's why when you said the matchup, I'm thinking like, okay, wait a minute here. How did this happen? But perfect. I love it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Our last boys match, Ryder Rogotsky, right? World team member. We talked about him. Wanted him in the event. He wanted in the event. And we had a tough time. We went through a couple of... with some issues with scheduling with Ryder, just some one weird conflict after another. And as we're looking for somebody, right, a lot of people saw our tweet, we start asking around, and it turns out that there's a kid from Chatfield who didn't lose a match until the state finals last year that is close enough in weight to say, I'll give him a go, right? Grady Schott's going to come take a crack at Ryder Rogotsky, and I love it.
Yeah. We needed someone to step up, and it's perfect, man, that he's in. You said he only had one loss last year?
Yeah, his only loss was in the state finals, and he's going to be a senior this year. So little school, little school, big school, 1A, Chatfield. Grady had a great season last year, and I'll be honest, I hadn't seen his name this summer, and I don't know if I just missed it or if he hasn't wrestled. But he's ready to roll now, and I think it's super awesome. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And thanks to Grady for stepping up and saying, you know what, I'm in.
Yeah, because we actually had a pretty big following on Twitter that thought, Josh, you should wrestle Ryder.
You know, freaking that Joe LaRose, man. I'm telling you what.
Do we need to block our first person ever on Twitter? Is LaRose. Joe not going to be allowed to?
You know, LaRose, I do not appreciate that idea. And I really don't appreciate the idea of Ryder ripping me in half.
Right. So we got three more matches announced. We got Abby Gindell and Lauren Ellsmore.
I believe it's Gindley.
Gindley.
Abby Gindley, I believe, is how it's pronounced.
You know, that's what I get for looking at this spreadsheet that has typos in it.
Well, yeah, that's, and she's got an older brother that wrestles too, so that helps me, you know. And who knows? Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. I try to.
I believe you.
Try
You're
to get it
generally
straight.
But, pretty good about yeah.
But yeah, so
Gaoshua was one that I used to always get wrong. I wasn't even sure how to pronounce it. I just made you do it, but now I know.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for, the pronunciation. So who's Abby is wrestling?
Lauren Ellsmore.
Yeah.
Right? And they're both, they're a little, so we talked about MSHSL having high school wrestling for girls. I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what weight classes they're going to have. So Lauren and Abby are smaller, right?
Yeah.
In that, what, 90, 95 pound range, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Ballpark.
But it should be a really exciting match, right?
They both got a ton of wrestling experience. Lauren's the oldest of the wrestlers in her family, and I believe Abby is on the younger side. It should be a lot of fun. Lauren was a state runner-up last year in the girls, you know, unofficial and sanctioned state tournament. And then Abby was a triple crown winner. I mean, USA triple crown winner.
Right.
So this will be a good one. Not only is it a good matchup, but it's a good kind of up and comer match too.
Right. Right. And you know, there's girls wrestling. We've watched a girls state tournament that they've had the non-MSHSL one watched from a good seat several times over the past few years, but there's a lot of fans that listen that haven't had a chance to watch as much of the girls, but they're going to get an opportunity this year with it being more prevalent, being MSHSL sponsored, having state tournament when and wherever that's held be streamed and or with, you know, we don't know all the details, but these are names you're going to see coming up for sure.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if I mentioned Lauren's from Pine Island and Abby's from Maple Lake.
Maple Lake.
Wrestles for Annandale Maple Lake.
Speaking of locations, our next match, Ryan Grunwald and Olivia Sackor.
Okay. We got Ryan Grunwald's from Owatonna.
Yep.
And she was also a state runner-up last year in the girls' state tournament. And Olivia Sackor was a state champion, and she wrestles for Fridley now.
She does. So the release graphic had, I think, Park Center listed.
Which is where she used to wrestle.
And she sent us an email and said, hey, FYI, I'm at Fridley. And that was one. So that was one of our early releases. And we've outsourced our release graphics making. And the first few that went through didn't get proofread very closely. So we've got an updated graphic we'll have with Fridley on there. Make sure we give good credit to Fridley. But that was one that slipped through the cracks again.
Sorry about that, Olivia.
She had a smiley. She was totally cool with it. Just wanted to let us know. And I'm like, well, I knew that too. But all right, our last match, Ella Pagel and Nari Miller.
Oh, okay. We mentioned Ella's name earlier in the show. She is a Fargo All-American and just, well, champ. Right? Fargo champ. She's from Northfield. She was a runner-up in the girls' state tournament this year because there was a little bit of a goofy weight. She actually, her and Katie Lang duked out in one heck of a match, right?
Right, yeah. So basically, the girls all showed up to wrestle, and there was a couple of weight classes that didn't have very many competitors, and they just combined them. Everybody says, yeah, we're in. So they grouped them together, and more than likely, on paper anyway, Ella would have won a state title and Katie would have won a state title, but they end up in the same bracket.
Yeah.
And Katie Lang is a hammer. And they had an awesome match in the state finals, right? Katie came out and was kind of controlling the match for a while. And then Ella came back and scored late, and like it got really interesting.
Yeah, that was a great match, man. Nari Miller, she's from Minneapolis Edison. They got a pretty strong girls wrestling team,
right?
You know, they got a good, you know, decent numbers, and they compete well at so it'll be interesting to keep an eye on them as the season progresses this year to see, you know, how many girls that, now that the sport's sanctioned, how many girls they have competing,
right?
So so we got three girls matches this year, up from two from last year.
Yep. So we've got that's our 15. That's where we're at.
Okay. Perfect, man. I can't wait for this poll to come on. I'm curious what the people are going to vote, who they're going to pick to be the last match of the night.
I know. We're going to have to kind of go through and figure out. I think last year we put four matches up, and our thought process was we'd put up four matches, we'd let the fans pick, and they'd have the finale, and then you know, maybe we do something like even start out the event with like the second most popular match or start out strong sort of thing. And it came down, it was like a 42% to 44% type thing. So we ended up making them kind of co-main events both at the end. But we'll pick three or four matches. We'll put a poll out there, put out there for a day or two and let the fans choose.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to touch a little bit back on, you know, the guys that are putting this together. Obviously, we talked earlier about Mark Christensen. That was Mark's the spearheads this operation and does a fantastic job, you know, leading the team. And Andy Hackenmuller, who's
he's the new coach down at Rochester.
Yeah,
RCTC, right?
And he's taken over for Travis Rutt.
Yep.
You know, we should get Hack on the show someday and talk RCTC stuff.
Yeah, the audio was lost, but after the event last year, we did some recording, and Hack was very comfortable on the mic.
Oh, he was great. And his buddy Jake Satzer was also great on the mic and entertaining.
He was super entertaining. It was one of the more entertaining interviews I've ever been a part of or witnessed.
Jake Satzer, he's runs No Nonsense Wrestling. You know, he's worked tirelessly. Cammy Snowball, Al has gone above and beyond. Who am I missing here, Al? We got a lot of good people that try to put this thing together.
I think that's kind of the gist of the main group, but there's a whole bunch of other people, right? Like Dennis is going to be super involved from the production standpoint and kind of take over, which we need.
Yeah.
And what's a guy from Pin TV?
Noah Glenn.
Yeah, he's going to show up again and bring his Pin TV equipment. We've got Rod Frost is going to locate a few officials for us to make sure we've got three state tournament level officials available, and lots and lots of those people that jump in and help out where needed, but aren't necessarily part of the whole crew, but tons of people jumping in and helping.
Yeah, it's an awesome effort by everyone, and look forward to it this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. So we'll get this show out. I think we've got one more match released tonight. You guys will have already heard it, I guess, but we'll release Ryder and Shot. Rogoski Shot will be released tonight. Will be our last matchup released. And then we'll get a poll out in the next couple days. We'll let you guys pick who finishes the event off, and we'll see everybody on Saturday. It's going to be a blast.
I can't wait. One thing we should do before we end here is give a shout-out to our sponsors, our show sponsors.
Yeah.
Elsmore Plumbing, Jason Elsmore, give this guy a call for all your plumbing needs in and around the Rochester area. Todd Hansen at We Sell You Save Realty. You know, if you're looking to buy or sell a house or relocate, give him a shout out. He's in the metro area. If you're looking for insurance, track down Ashcon Mavaria State Farm Insurance. He's also in the metro. And if you're looking for a bite to eat, don't be afraid to stop in the Mississippi Pub and see Joe Harms in Invergrove Heights. These guys are all contributors to our show in one way or another. And
if you stop by Mississippi Pub, too, you got to tell Joe he's got to put those, I'm going to call them bowl bites, on the menu. He makes a really excellent smoked ribeye that's chunked up with some secret weapon sauce on it, which is outstanding.
Yeah, they were actually award-winning, right?
He doesn't sell it, but we have tasted it, and it's excellent.
Yeah, maybe in a future episode we'll chat a little bit about the Alan Josh Show barbecue brawl.
Right.
Not
probably. I'd rather let the sting wear off a little bit, Josh, before we go over that in detail.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea.
It's got to be, yeah. Yeah, one of us did a lot better than the other, but we'll leave that to the fans' imagination.
One of us is still tired.
Right. All right, well, I got nothing else, Josh.
Me neither.
You got anything?
Nope, that's it, man. Thanks.
Awesome.
It's good to be back in Studio 2. We'll be trying to get back in here a little more regularly now.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. All right, everybody take care. We'll talk to you Saturday.
Another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing. Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth, podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling, Alan Josh. Josh Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I mean studio 2. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.